Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast. We know that God's Word is forever. We know that it's without error. We know that there are things that we still need to understand about God's Word, that He needs to bring understanding and revelation to us. We know that this is not just a book of good teaching, but it's a living Word, sharp and active and able to divide to the depths of our own person. And all of it is for correction and reproof and instruction and encouragement and revelation of who He is and how He deals with people, how He deals with us, how it's supposed to transform our everyday living. It's not like there's a spiritual life and then there's our life. We are in Him. He is supposed to be in us, and it transforms us, and we learn to walk with Him day in and day out. And He calls us, of course, to be students of His Word, but disciples to follow Him. All of His Word is good for any given moment, but there are also words and instruction that comes from Him in season. In other words, He recognizes a season of our life that we're in, or a circumstance or a situation, and He can also bring a word in season to us. And I'm very careful not to make great proclamations about what God is doing, and every Sunday saying, "This is a word for now." Hopefully, we know that when we look at His Word, it is a word for now. It applies to our life. But there are sometimes urgencies that I sense, hopefully from Him, that are words that come in a moment, in a season to us. And you can take this for what it's worth. This is not a great proclamation, but I will tell you that from God's view, this morning, I feel that this is a message in season for many of us. And so I just want to tell you that from the outset. And yet it certainly will apply to all of us because it is based upon His Word and principle, but also a prompting this morning of His Spirit that from His view, there are some things that He sees in us that still need some change. And so if you're visiting this morning, glad that you're here. We trust the Lord's going to minister to you. And predominantly what I share this morning, though it applies to all of us, certainly it is for what we call new life in this church. And so may we take an extra sense of heeding His call. He calls us, we know throughout the Scripture, Old Testament, New, to be fruitful in our life, right? Fruitfulness. We want to be fruitful as we look at our walk with the Lord. We want to be our walk to be fruitful. We look at ministry and the things that we lay labor to and put work to. We want it to be fruitful. We want it to bear fruit. Things in our life. You plant a garden. You work hard on something. You get married. And you want to have family. I mean, things in our life. You work hard on a project at school. You work on a business project. All of this so that it will be fruitful. We look at the very nature of God and we know that He is fruitful. For He Himself is the way, the truth, and the life. He is life. Life begets life. Death begets nothing. It's dead. Dead is dead. But He is life. And what He touches, what He reveals Himself to. When he speaks a word, his word is living. It is filled with life. He is life. He is the one who created. You look back in Genesis chapter 1, and it says the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. It's like he came upon it, hovered over it, and as he began to speak, things were created for the very first time. He could do that because he himself is life. He is God. We look at scripture references and it talks about his spirit, the spirit of life, right? Romans is chocked full of the spirit of life. You look about, at a time of those of you who are of the household of faith, you believe upon Jesus Christ as your Savior. It was a time when the Holy Spirit was upon you and revealing himself and drawing you to God. And because of that, it brought you into spiritual life, eternal life, life with God. Call to be fruitful. You know, it's interesting, you look at Luke, and I'm going to make a lot of references to scriptures, and you can go back and look them up at another time, or however you want to do that, or listen to the podcast, or get a CD, however you want to do that. But Luke chapter 1, it talks about the angel of the Lord brought a message to Mary that she was going to conceive. And it says that the Holy Spirit came upon her and the Most High would overshadow her, because she asked, how can I have a child when I am a virgin? How can I be fruitful if I haven't had union? And it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon her and the power of the Most High overshadowed her and she conceived. See, I want to talk to you this morning about, and this is the season part for us. I want to talk to us about oneness with the Lord. Oneness. You and I cannot be fruitful in our life unless we are one with Him. And oneness is proven by union with Him. Now, we think a lot in human terms, and that's okay because it brings revelation and spirit understanding. It happened in Scripture all the time. Old Testament, New Testament, you look at the teachings of Jesus. He used human parallels to describe or explain a kingdom principle. God, when He created, He had the foreknowledge of humanity and set in motion some physical principles that we experience throughout all areas of our life that have parallels in the Spirit so that we could gain understanding. The Holy Spirit could explain things and bring revelation to us that Jesus could teach these things and kingdom principles. The wonderful thing about the kingdom of God is it is not limited to just physical principles. It is spirit. You look in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit was outpoured. The Holy Spirit came upon people. And you can look at Jesus talking about what was going to happen from Acts chapter 1. And then he ascended in Acts chapter 2. It talks about what happened to those who got together and prayed and obeyed Jesus. And they in Acts chapter 2. And it goes on to talk about how the church became fruitful and how they lived and what they did. All because the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they became fruitful. Came upon them, and they experienced this God and Holy Spirit being in us, and we are in Him. All from this basis of faith. And not just believing, but the kind of believing, the kind of faith that changed the way that they live and conducted their life. Where they went. How they did business.
how they cared for their family, how they cared for neighbors, strangers, how often they went to the church or the synagogue or to get together, how often they prayed. All of these things based upon this relationship, this oneness with the Lord. So that they, out of this oneness and union with him came this fruitfulness. They conceived things. Because he is life, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we begin to conceive things in us. He is life. And when he comes upon us and touches us, we conceive things. Many of us, we begin to conceive a vision. We conceive a plan. He gives it to us, this revelation of how we're supposed to live now, what we're supposed to do. Sometimes it's a very specific calling. Certainly, it's all of the callings of the Word of God in the sense of we go through a transformation. We're supposed to be changed because we have oneness. We have union with Him. We have relationship with Him. Like I said, he uses examples. He goes all the way back to Genesis, and you can look in chapter 2, verse 24, and it says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father, and he shall take unto himself a wife, and the two shall become..." It's interesting when you look at parallels in the New Testament that he uses marriage as an example of a relationship that Christ is supposed to be having with who? The church. With us. That we are this spouse, this wife of Christ. In the principle of husband and wife, and the two shall become one, and he and us, and we and him. This union, this conceiving, this relationship. Listen to me. I want you to hear this. In our Christian walk, if we are not being fruitful, and we know that he is filled with life, then it's because we are not acting in union with him. In other words, if we are not fruitful, we are barren. And in our spiritual life, if we are barren and we are not continuing to bear fruit, then understand this. It's not God's fault. We, in our life, are making decisions to be barren. Now, we can pray, "Make me fruitful. Make me fruitful." You can have conversation with him. You can go to church. All of these things. But in between the worship services and the decisions we make, we are choosing to be barren. Barren by choice. Because God has made us with the capacity to be able to conceive of him things he wants to do in our life and through us. His character. The fruit of his spirit in us. We can conceive and he can produce those things, his very self in us, if we have relationship with him, oneness with him, union with him. You know this. This is not new. You can be busy doing things in his kingdom, in the ministry, in the church, and still lose out on union and relationship with him. You need to have, I need to have the revelation of that truth come into my understanding. Not just mentally, but deep down in my spirit, that now it becomes this conviction that I can hang around church and I can hang around Christians and I can talk about God and I can sing to him, but I can still not have union and be at one with him. It would be like husband and wife. They work, they manage the house, but they don't have oneness. They don't have union. It's this physical parallel of husband and wife like Christ in the church. Do you know that Christ, do you know that Jesus longs for you to be with him? Longs. Oh, come on. Do you remember, those of you who have, we'll use the term fallen in love. Please don't get all analytical about the term fallen in love. Fallen in love. Do you remember what it was when you were falling in love and you were just enamored with her? That means overwhelmed. It's an old word. Just looking at you young guys, enamored, what's that? You were taken with her. I mean, you were at school, but you were thinking about her. You were at work, and you were going through the motions every day, but you were taken with her. You guys look at me like, I'm not sure I quite get it. It'll happen. You were taken with him. I mean, now when you were fixing your hair in the mirror, you were busy looking at his picture you have up in the corner while you're fixing your hair. You just had to go to his Facebook all the time because, oh, he's so cute. One of the signs that you knew that you were taken with this guy is when somebody, some other girl posts on his wall and you think, hey, what does she think she's doing? Who she thinks she, I'm going to tell her, you know, all that stuff. Do you remember going without sleep? Do you remember driving? Listen, I remember driving from London, Ontario to Guelph, Ontario, because this is where she was at university. She was in Guelph. I lived in London. I remember, now that's only an hour away, not a long trip, until you hit a Canadian winter. I remember leaving in the evening. Jeff, in the evening, dark, blizzard stuff. Shouldn't be out driving blizzard stuff. Especially in some little two-wheel drive, white. Do you know, any of you ever hear of a Pontiac Acadian? Acadian. What it was the Canadian version of the American version of a Chevy Chevette. Some of you are like, what's a Chevette? It was really cool. It's kind of like, a Camaro. It wasn't. In fact, I remember, I won't give his name, but he was a famous youth evangelist, traveled all over the world. He came to the church and he looked at my car. He said, you know, Randy, I go to other places where youth pastors who are in the size of church you're at, and I was good. They're driving like Trans Ams and Camaros. You're driving this white turd. That's what he told me. I mean, it was just, and get this, it was a four-door. It wasn't even an uncool two-door coupe Chevette. Driving this thing in the snowstorm late at night to go get this girl so that she could come home to London for the weekend. My wife, you following the story? That guy's going to be rewinding the podcast a lot. To go pick up, at that time, not my wife. Now my wife. Go without sleep. Endure treacherous travels. In a Chevy Chevette. Conquering the Canadian winter against semis, great whiteouts, slippery roads, See, I wasn't overly worried about the semis going past us in the whiteouts because I knew if I timed it right, my car could actually fit underneath the trailer and slide to the other side and we'd never be touched. The things we do. Because we are taken. See, the question for me is, would I still do it? Well, don't sit there and think, well, would he? This is the point where you're supposed to be thinking, gee, would you be willing to do it for your lover? And now the spiritual principle. Now it's, Lord, I'm too tired. Lord, I'm too busy. I don't want to offend you, okay? I don't want to go over the edge here, but I want you to grasp something. When I was dating my wife, I'll just be real honest with you. I hope you can handle this. This is not, I'm not trying to be carnal or glorify something that shouldn't be, but once I kissed her for the first time, I wanted to do it more. She's just keeping her head down this morning. She's just... Listen, once I kissed her, I wanted to kiss her more often. I got an amen. Hey, all right. And it wasn't a teenager. Okay. I did. I mean, I wanted to kiss her. I wanted to hold her. I wanted to hug her. Did. Wanted to spend time with her. I'd go without sleep to be with her. I wouldn't shirk work responsibilities, but I'll tell you what, I tried to work smarter and harder and faster so I could be with her. Would I still do that? What about the parallel in the spirit? You still want the Holy Spirit to come on you? Do you make effort to be with him so that he can come upon you and you can conceive things of the Holy Spirit? Something could be birthed in you of God because you've had union with God. He's come into your life. You've placed yourself to seek him and to pray to him and look in his word and spend time in his presence, closing the door on everything else. Closing the laptop, silencing the phone, saying no to recreation, leaving the remote off, closing the door to the mess and the responsibilities that you know you need to get to be with him. I remember early days in my spiritual walk where I would read volumes, pages of Scripture, hungry, thirsty, desiring him, wanting to know him, understand him. What did he say? He can do that? Wow, I got to read that again. Do I still?
Do you still? Do you do the things you did at first? You've heard me talk about this before. The church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, the angel of the Lord, God has wrote a letter to seven churches. And he talks to the church of Ephesus. And he begins to tell them all the things that they did right and what God really liked about them and the works and the way they stood in conviction. And then he says, but I have this against you. You have forsaken your first love. In other words, you could be involved in church. You can do Christian things. You can do ministry. And yet, in the middle of it all, you have lost your first love. You have forsaken your first love. You can be busy doing things. But if you don't take time for oneness and for union and to conceive and spend time together, we're losing out on relationships. I don't care how much you're doing for the Lord. It matters to God. It says you are doing these things, but you have forsaken me. And he instructs them, this is how to resolve it. Do the things you did at first. Read his word. Pray. Shut out other things and be in his presence. Drive through snowstorms to get her. Instead of now 25 years later getting a phone call saying, well, can't you just walk home? You're at Ginny's Cupboard. It's not that far from where we live. Do I really have to drop what I'm doing to come and get you? I'm using that as an example. It's not true. You would just walk. So that's nice. Before, she used to call me for a ride. Now she'd rather be alone walking in a snowstorm. No, I'm kidding. Will we do the things we did at first? Because it's where we built relationship. Where we came to a place where the Holy Spirit would come upon us and we would have union with him and we would conceive. Or are we barren by choice? Busy doing Christian things, but we don't spend time with Christ. We mistake busyness and church stuff because we're doing it for him. Stop buying me gifts, stop doing things for me, and be with me. I want to read this to you. You know, John chapter 14. Verse 1. Forgot my glasses. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Jesus is speaking. And he says this in verse 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not tell you this. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Conversation continues on. About a disciple that says, we don't know where you're going and how to get there. And Jesus says to Thomas, he says, of course you do. You know me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I want you to know when Jesus begins to talk about, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you, I want you to know that in Jewish culture, in that time and that part of the world, that was wedding talk. Did you know that? It's wedding talk.
See, what would happen is this arrangement would be made, and this engagement would happen. And I'm not going to go into all the details of engagement. It's kind of different than how we do things. But this engagement would happen, and then what would go on is the groom, the bridegroom, would not take his wife yet. She would stay with her family, and he would go back to his father's house, and he would build an addition onto his father's house where the two of them were going to live. See, this is wedding talk. Jesus is saying, hey, listen, I'm going, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, that means I'm coming back to get you. And this is wedding talk. I'm going to my father's house. In other words, I am going to put an addition and build a place for us at my father's house. For you and I. So I'm going to come back and get you, and we're going to be married, and we're going to go off and we're going to live there. Okay? Here's the deal. You ever wonder about the scripture that says no one knows the day or the hour of Jesus' return except the Father in heaven, right? Because that's also related to wedding talk. He would go back, the son would build this addition. And then the father, his father, would have to come and inspect it. He'd look at what he's done, how he did it, and he would say, it's not ready yet. This ain't good enough for her. You need to do this over here, and you need to take that down and redo this, and you need to do this yet, and you need to. And he would walk through and inspect. And when it was done, then the father says, go get her, boy. The Father in heaven knows the day and the hour of Jesus' return for his bride because he is preparing a place for you. He wants you with him. Look at John chapter 17. A few pages later, John 17. He is praying, okay, in John 17. He prays for his disciples. And then he prays for all of those who believe. It's in verse 20. It says, my prayer is not all for them alone, meaning not just his disciples, but I pray also for those who will believe. Those in the future, all who will believe, okay? I pray also for them, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you and I are one, you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to completion, unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as I have, you have loved them. Father, I want those you have given me to what? To be with me. His prayer is still there. It's still a request to God. He has prepared a place and he's saying, I want them here. I am longing for them. Understand that God longs for a relationship with you. Why do you think he sent his son to pay for our sins so that we could be at peace with him and have relationship with him? Do you understand that he longs for you? He desires you. He wants you with him. Not just there, but in this meantime, when we can seek him and allow his Holy Spirit to come on us. And conceive things. Listen, one of the examples that he uses right here is that the world could look at the oneness that you have, the union you have with Christ. And because of that union with Christ, they will know that Jesus is the Messiah. Evangelism does not start with you telling someone about the gospel. It starts when we allow the one who gave his life for us, it starts when we have union with him and oneness with him and fellowship with him and he is in us. Because then as we evangelize, it is him in us and it brings fruitfulness. Listen, I know we live in a world of marketing. Marketing is huge business. You pull up a page on a computer, and off to the right column are ads. Every time you drive down the street, you see ads. We put up a new sign. We get it. Listen, I know that marketing is a huge issue. But I want you to know that, and as we practice marketing and do some of these things, I want you to know that marketing itself will not build the kingdom of heaven and make converts. It is the life of Jesus Christ and the union and oneness with Him that comes out of us, that impacts people and causes us to be fruitful. That's where evangelism starts. I have met people who have a heart for evangelism, and I think it's great, and I think it's wonderful, and they plan a lot of big events and do things. I'm not against them. I think it's wonderful. I've been a part of them. I've supported them. I've all of those things. I get it. But we can be busy doing those things, and if we lose oneness and union with Christ, we will not be as fruitful. You want to be fruitful in your life? Then you need to close the door and pardon the phrase, but you need to get away with your lover. You need to shut yourself up with Jesus. Listen, the Old Testament is chock full of God's desire for His people, His love for them. And how they would love Him, and then they would wander from Him. And He would send warnings. He would send messages. He would do these things and say, hey, 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 pay attention. Repent. Turn. Turn aside. Turn back to Me. And when people did that, He healed their land. He healed their bodies. He healed them of diseases. He provided for them. He prospered them. He blessed them. He gave them nations. Gave them land. All because they step back into union, oneness with Him, relationship with Him. You know what it is to have an acquaintance. You know what it is to have a friend. You know what it is to have a best friend. You know what it is maybe to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Some of you, you know the difference of when you have a husband and a wife. These different relationships and what we do to maintain them or pursue them or make them go deeper. Listen, I remember when Justin Meyer used to call our house when he was interested in my daughter, at that time, Brittany Williamson. They're not here this morning, are they? They're in the nursery. Can they hear me in there? They better be listening. I remember going past Brittany's bedroom door. I can hear her talking. At very late hours. It was him, that boy. I remember. When's the last time you went without sleep to talk with the Lord or listen to Him? I'll tell you what. You can sing and you can dance and you can, you know, all these things and do ministry and all this kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what, at your closest relationship in your life, the closest relationships you have in your life, you take a look at those, because I'll promise you this. There's a reflection there of your relationship with God. And if you have the idea that, well, I'm just close with the Lord and I seek Him and I'm with Him and these people, well, they're just, you know, they got problems, they got blah, 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 blah. Listen, part of your relationship with God is about how you have relationship with the closest people in your life. The scripture's clear. You want to be fruitful? And you and I need to get back. And you know what?
It's turning fully in his direction, not partly. Not where I can, well, I can see him. And I'm kind of drifting in that direction. He's perfectly, you know, north, and I'm kind of going northwest. And so, you know, that's close enough. Let me tell you something. God has always been aware throughout the scripture and since. He's aware of the wayward church. He's aware. He knows. When we desire him and seek him, look for him, sit quiet with him, spend time with him. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul writes about relationships, and he talks about husbands and wives at one portion there, and he says that, you know, husbands and wives, they can stop having union with each other if they both consent that it's okay, but it's only for the reason of devoting yourselves to intense prayer. And he says, when you're done, make sure husband and wife, you come back together again. And he's talking union here. And if you want me to be a little more plain, he's talking about sexuality. Because I want you to know, it's not just some physical act. It's something he's put in motion. And it wasn't just for procreation, but it was also for recreation and relationship. Something that you share with somebody. This union, this oneness that you don't with anyone else. It's like the church. They're supposed to share oneness with Christ alone, not with anyone else. Not with some other idol and some other god. Busy doing church stuff, and yet we're distracted. Listen, there's a difference between working and making money and then chasing wealth. There's a difference. God sees it. What a distraction. Listen, he knows the difference. He said, Paul says, husband and wife should come back together so that they will not be tempted. Tempted what? To go somewhere else and be satisfied. If you and I stop union and fellowship with Christ and oneness with him, the temptation will come, and it may come subtly, but you will begin to transfer some type of satisfaction. You will be looking somewhere else to be satisfied while you're going to church, while you're involved in ministry, because you stopped union and oneness with him, relationship with him. You stopped conceiving things. You stopped putting yourself in a place where the Holy Spirit can come upon you. And you will be tempted to find satisfaction somewhere else. It'll be off the bullseye. Oh, you may not make this great swing, but it'll be slow. You begin to transfer. You begin to spend more time. And all of a sudden, while you're busy doing things in the church, and you acknowledge his name, and you sing some, and you read a little scripture, and you say a little prayer, and you're on your way, you're still not having union with him. You're still not having oneness with him. And we think we're okay. And I'm telling you, as Christ draws near in his return, and he draws near to this church, and we want a window of opportunity to say yes to him, for him to do great things among us, for his presence to get stronger and closer, as he does, he'll see if whether we're welcoming him or not. And how we live, the attitude of our hearts, what are we chasing? What is a distraction? My wife asked an interesting question this last Wednesday night. She said, write down three things. I want to quote this question right. Three things, three obstacles that keep us from intimacy with the Lord. Write down three, I wanted to quote her right. Three obstacles, write down three obstacles that keep us from intimacy with God. What are the obstacles? What are the distractions? Go to this level. What are three things that keep you, or obstacles, husbands, what are three things that keep you from closer relationship with your wife? Wife, what are three things that are obstacles from you being closer to your husband? Parents, children,
What are the three obstacles? If there are obstacles there that you can do something about, I want you to know they are directly related to obstacles that you have with union and oneness with God. I don't care how often you go to church and how much work you do for Him. God presses in and looks close. And He's, hey, he commends us for the work, but He says, hey, you've lost the first love. You're not doing what you did at first. In fact, you're starting to look some other directions. Listen, wives, you are out with your husband to dinner. And an attractive woman walks by. Now, when people walk by, we sometimes glance, no big deal. Everybody glances, like, no big deal. But you observe him more than glancing. Wives. Bothers you. How do you think the Lord feels? When we start doing more than a glance, more than a notice, and it starts showing up because we don't spend the time with Him. We don't get in a place where the Holy Ghost can come on us and we can conceive because we're not having union with Him. Listen, this ain't milk this morning. This is for the church and saying, you know what? Where am I at? What are the obstacles? Why am I not more fruitful? Well, I talk and I pray and I do this, but you know, I'm busy and I got, and I've got family and whew. That's it. You go ahead and use some noble things as your excuses. God sees right through all that. How did you and Sue make it with four children 4.5 years apart? How did you go to church all the time and be there and work and do all this stuff and manage your house? Oh, it's so... Seek Him and do it. Seek Him and do it. Hey, listen, I'm all for books and reading and all that, even though I don't do a lot of it. You know, I discipline myself to read things because reading to me is not a recreation. That's work for me. It's, for me, it is. Listen, read the books. That's fine. But you know what? Get back to this. God cares for you. He cares for His kids. He cares for your family. And there are times that you're not going to make it or you're going to make it late. Listen, I get it. Seek Him. Make time for Him. Have union with Him. He will put life in you, and He will put creativity in you, and He will protect you, and He will preserve you, because we get to a point where we understand when we have union and oneness with Him, and we maintain that. We don't just do it occasionally. We maintain it because it's important, and we do it with purpose. We get to the understanding where God no longer looks at us as some wayward church and kind of glancing here and staring over there and, well, we're marching along together. He gets to the point, He says, you know what? I just want you to be mine. And we say, I just want to be yours. I want to be yours. Take me away. He says, be mine. Be mine. Get in a place where God can put in you Himself and what He desires for you. Let Him love you. Let Him heal you. I'll tell you what. You start having union with Christ. You start being one with Him. You be in Him and allow Him to be in you. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of things that bother you now that you're so consumed with, I'll tell you what, they will be solved and they will just simply go away. Some things will rear their ugly head and not want to give you up. But I know who wins. He doesn't give you up easy. Hear this. He is calling you. You, all of you, me, to belong to him, to be his, to be his. He just says, be mine. You can say yes, you can say no. Listen, you can get wrapped up in that, oh, that sounds so good. Yes, I'll say yes. But listen, our yes is played out on how we live the rest of today. And if God gives us tomorrow, how we make decisions, how we spend our time, all of these things. Listen, a wedding does not make a marriage. Just like a moment of salvation does not make a Christian life. It's what we do from the wedding. It's what we do from the point of salvation in the relationship that we have and we maintain. Listen, giving birth doesn't make you a parent. I mean, it does in title, but what is a parent? One who's going to nurture and love and care and maintain the relationship with this child. That's a parent. That's why some of you have a dad that is not your biological dad, but he has been a dad to you, or a mom. Because they became a parent. Listen, I'll just tell you my natural tendency when I was talking to the Lord about all of this and this message of being barren by choice and not being fruitful because we choose not to have union with him, though we want to hang around him. I thought, you know, the closing of this message, I'm just going to bring the worship team up and I'm going to invite people to come to the altar and you get to a place, you repent, you turn to God, and you know what? Let the Holy Ghost come on you this morning, and I was going to lay hands on people and pray for people, and you know what? In the middle of all that good thought and that natural tendency or that spiritual tendency, hopefully, God just says, no, there will be time for that. They need to hear my word and decide what they're going to do. And they need to walk from this place. And you know what? They need to go from this place and they need to turn and choose to turn. Don't make, he said this. He said, Randy, do not make it easy for them just to walk out of their pew and come to the altar this morning. There will be time for that. I want to see what they will do when they leave this place, when this church leaves this building, what these people will do and how they will live. And that will they place themselves in a chamber with God, have oneness with him, union with him. I've heard your prayers to come and visit strongly. I've heard your prayers, he says. But as I draw near, I see. Not that he didn't see it before, but it's in parallels we understand. I see. Why should I come? Me, who is the life, to a people who want to be around me but don't want to conceive.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.